about.
Morning, Mindy.
Good morning.
You look lovely.
Thank
morning,
you.
Everybody.
You look lovely as well. This is very exciting.
Thank you. Let's get right to it.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Did you ever get the feeling there must be a better catheter for you? Well, you can get a better catheter. Liberator Medical has so many new and innovative catheters to choose from, like the pre-hydrated catheter, the polished eyelid catheter, the compact catheters for women, the closed-system travel catheter, the self-lubricated red rubber catheter, the discreet pocket catheter. Call for your free catheter sample pack with free shipping.
And now,
what is going on in this town? I get that the state is an oil state, but is this town built on a gas leak? It's like a vortex of morons.
Our feature presentation.
That is a lot of talk about stuff I don't want to talk about right there.
I'm going to get one of those discreet travel catheters with red rubber. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good.
It doesn't sound good. The word catheter makes me cringe.
Yeah. Yeah. Catheter. Have you ever had one?
I think in the hospital one time.
Yeah. Well, that's usually where you want them.
It's not.
You don't want it in the car.
It's not ideal, really.
It's not a lot of fun.
No.
That's for sure. Hey, if someone listening has never had a catheter, you have that in your future, so good luck.
Yeah, go get that and enjoy. Morning, everybody. Sure. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. It's the 14th of July.
That's Beer Mug back there, right?
That is.
Back from vacation?
Yep.
So that means our vacation now is officially over.
That's who that is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll find out how much he ate on vacation later. First, though, to get us started, here's a crazy story. Now, it does come from the Daily Mail in the UK, as George Clooney taught us. They just make stories up. So it may or may not be true, but it certainly sounds possible. Student goes blind after keeping her contact lenses in for 6 months, and microscopic bugs eat her eyeballs.
Oh. Wow, that's gross.
Now, I don't know a lot about contact lenses, but I thought that they had gotten to the point where there's a contact lens now that you can just put in and keep in. Just leave it in 24/7, sleep in it, the whole deal. No, is that not the case?
Well, I thought so too, but maybe it's the six-month thing.
Well, she was a student in Taiwan, still is, I imagine, kept a pair of disposable contact lenses in her eyes for 6 months. According to a warning issued by doctors, it was a particularly severe case of a young person under pressure who did not take the time to carry out basic hygiene on your contact lenses. Apparently, as well as being regularly cleaned, you're supposed to remove them when swimming and showering, or washing, it says here. The general advice is to avoid wearing contacts for more than 8 hours a day. She kept them in all the time, even in the swimming pool, 23-year-old. Medics were horrified when they removed the lenses to find that the surface of the girl's eyes had literally been eaten by the amoeba.
That's so gross.
That had been able to breed in the perfect conditions that existed between the contact lens and the eye.
That's so gross.
This is like, this is the strain is what this is.
Wow.
Little bugs in your eyes? A shortage of oxygen can destroy the surface of the epithelial tissue, creating tiny wounds into which the bacteria can easily infect, spreading to the rest of the eye and providing a perfect breeding ground. The girl should have thrown away the lenses after a month, but instead she overused them and now has permanently damaged her cornea. So she blind is what it says in this article.
That isn't good for you.
That is not good for you at all. So I guess the advice here would be say no to catheters, say yes to taking out your goddamn contact lenses every once in a while.
Correct.
You're not that busy that you don't have time to attend to your eyes.
If you need that much advice, we're giving it to you right now.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I mean, what has happened to you? You know, with your attitude and your hair, you've literally become a big head.
Hair. What has happened to your hair? We're going to talk to people who dumpster dive. I think that's a deal. I think that's a thing. And I don't think a lot of people who dumpster dive need to. We had a intern one time who did, and she pretty much did because she had to. Didn't have any money, couldn't buy any food, whole deal. But
I mean, we'll talk about this at the time. It's not for me, but I get people who think, wow, I'm spending all this money on food, and so much really good stuff is being thrown away that's completely edible.
Yeah, I can see.
I get that.
Yeah, I do too, but it's being thrown away with crap.
Right.
That's my problem.
I mean, I think you have to pick and choose your dumpster.
Right. That's another good piece of advice from the Kevin and Bean Show. Pick and choose your dumpster. Justin Thoreau, by the way, is where this story comes from. He used to dumpster dive. We are going to talk a little bit more about Taylor Swift, who's the dumbest person alive. Tadal Swindler, sorry.
I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
No, I'm standing by it.
I wish I were as dumb as Taylor Swift, I'll tell you that.
You wish you were as rich as her. You don't want to be dumb. Comic-Con tickets we have.
How about that?
Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Adam the Bull. Adam the Bull, sports guy in Cleveland, about LeBron James going there and how the fans are going to receive him after everything that went on and how he can get along with the owner. That's my question.
A lot of hypocrites in Cleveland very excited about LeBron James now.
Yeah, well.
A lot of people who burned those jerseys are going out and buying a new one.
And Harvey Levin from TMZ.com will be here as well in the next hour to tell you about everything going on in the world of celebrities. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
By the way, all Southern California Hot Topic locations have the brand new K-Rock Summer sticker. This summer, we are giving away a 2014 Dodge Challenger and a trip to see the Black Keys anywhere in North America. That's what you get with the sticker if you fill out the back and send it in. You can get the details at KROQ.com. Oh, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card.
Woo!
So a lot of reasons to stop on by. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Hot Topic.
Woo!
It's hot.
It is hot.
It's hot. And it's a topic.
Sure. Both of those things.
It's a hot topic.
How was your weekend?
Oh, just spectacular.
Did you Batman it out on Saturday?
I did. Saturday night, we had this amazing live performance of the second issue of the comic book that Kevin Smith and I put together, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet. And then we had a sold-out crowd, and we had a blast, and people laughed, and we sang, and we danced, and we cheered. And there was cocktails had, and everyone had a good time. So thanks for everybody who came out. It is Monday morning here on the Showbiz Beat. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was the weekend's big winner, pulling in an estimated $73 million this weekend.
Wow.
Transformers.
It has to be one of the most successful franchises in Hollywood history, right?
If you count the first five films and then you add...
Yeah, I mean, there's eight of them now.
Except for that Mark Wahlberg one.
Yeah, I could have done without
that
one.
But the other, the other film's wildly successful. $73 million made it number one. Transformers Age of Extinction made it two. It was number two at the box office with $16.5 million.
You go see that again, Kevin?
I did not.
I did go see that because I knew it out loud this weekend.
Saw Planet of the Apes. That was awesome.
Tammy was third. 22 Jump Street was fourth. How to Train Your Dragon 2 came in at number five. Earth to Echo, Deliver Us from Evil, Maleficent, Begin Again, and Jersey Boys, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Begin Again is not a movie I'm familiar with at number 9.
I don't know what that is either. That's the kind of the sort of sequel to Once. It's another one of those movies from that guy. It's kind of about musicians who meet each other and fall in love and all that.
Ah, I like that Once. Maybe I'll go see Begin Again.
I don't even know what that is.
Sad musical news over the weekend. The last surviving founding member of the Ramones has passed away. Drummer Tommy Ramone passed away over the weekend after a battle with bile duct cancer, just 65 years old. Tommy was not only the drummer for the band, but he also produced or co-produced many of their albums. He was behind the kit for the first three studio albums, the first live album. Then he decided he was better off in the studio producing, and Mark Bell took over as Marky Ramone after Tommy Ramone left the Skins, but really created that sound for the most. You listen to Blitzkrieg Bop and listen to the drumming on that track. It's just unique and powerful and driving. Great drummer, great producer. The brains behind the Ramones, according to a lot of people. So,
I don't know if it had anything to do with their punk rock lifestyle, but isn't it weird how young all of them died, Ralph?
Yeah, it is strange and tragic. There's some wedding news from the weekend. Reggie Bush, USC favorite, now running back for the Detroit Lions. He and his model bride said, "I do," down there at the Del Mar Resort in San Diego this Saturday. According to sources, he's broke, by the way.
What?
Yeah.
He's got to be making... he has to have a contract with the Lions that pays him something.
I know, but something to put...
He's broke.
That's what they say.
Wow.
Victoria's Secret hottie Lindsay Ellingson is also in our wedding news. She got married this weekend to a guy named Sean Clayton, who's not nearly good enough for her. I don't know anything about him or what he looks like, but he's just wrong for her.
No, he's not good enough.
Wrong. And Catherine Webb And A.J. McCarron got married this weekend. You remember A.J.?
That lasted, huh?
He was, of course, the quarterback. That Brent Musburger was gushing over his girlfriend when he was doing the BCS.
How do you get a girl like that? Remember?
Yeah. She's
a quarterback.
A lovely lady. How do you get a girl like that? Quarterback. Yeah.
When you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there? She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with pops.
All right. Take it easy.
He is practically masturbating in the booth.
Was it Bean?
That's a good question.
Was Bean doing
dare
it?
You?
I don't know. It was Brent Musburger.
I'm stunned that they stayed together, by the way. Aren't you? As famous as she got and as his career ended as a college football player, I figured she'd move to Hollywood and hook up with an actor.
Well, some people are nice, Bean.
I guess so.
And this is great news. You know, NBC likes to do those live musicals. They started off with The Sound of Music with Carrie Underwood.
Huge hit.
It was a huge ratings hit, a marginal success with critics and some people who like musicals, but they're going on. They're doing another one. This time, Peter Pan. Everybody went, ugh.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, really? Well, the news came over this weekend that Christopher Walken will be playing Captain Hook for the live-action musical in December. Now I'm in. Now I'm watching.
That made all the difference.
That made all the difference. Walken said, it's a chance to put on my tap shoes again. I don't think Captain Hook really tap dances, but we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe his version does.
Who will play the boy who never grew up? Well, traditionally on stage, it's always played by a woman.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, for as long as the show's been produced. Mary Martin has done it, and Kathy Rigby famously did it for many years. And now the president of NBC says he would
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, Miley Cyrus. He would like Miley Cyrus to play Peter Pan.
Wait, just he would like to, or they've talked to her about it?
He says that's his dream cast.
All right.
He got Christopher Walken as Captain Hook. That's what he wanted. And he wants Miley Cyrus to play Peter Pan.
Why not Bieber?
See? Because it's a woman's role.
And this is kind of cool. Eminem did two sold-out shows over the weekend at the Wembley Stadium in London. And on Friday night, Eminem brought out Dr. Dre, who doesn't do many live gigs at all, especially not one that big, but Dre and Eminem did Still Dre.
That is cool.
Nothing but a G thing. Forget about Dre. Naturally, the crowd went crazy when it happened. The Wembley gigs were booked by the folks who run Hyde Park when they decided that his music wasn't proper for that venue. So they moved him over to Wembley, and looks like nothing was lost in the translation.
I think I spoke first. I believe I spoke first.
Just get it over with so we can move on.
You got it.
I have a clip of that show if you'd like to hear Eminem.
I would, actually. A monster, because nobody wants to see Marsha no more. They want Shady. I'm Chopped Liver. Well, if you want Shady, this is what I'll give you. A little bit of weed mixed with some hard liquor.
He still got it. Come on, Ralph. It's funny.
It's freaking Monday. I'm already exhausted.
It's the return of, oh, wait, no way, you're kidding. He didn't just say what I think he did he? And Dre said, nothing, you idiots. Dr. Dre's dead. He's locked in my basement. Ha ha.
He hasn't lost a step. That's crazy. Yep. Back to you, Ralph.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Harry Dean Stanton is 88 years old today. Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos. Big Pussy. He's 68. Kyle Gass, our buddy from Tenacious D, is 54 years old today, as is actress Jane Lynch. Jackie Earle Haley, who had a career that goes as far back as the Bad News Bears. Then, of course, he was Rorschach in The Watchmen. He was on that show you and I liked, Kevin, for a short time called Human Touch.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Human Touch. 53 years old today. Actor Matthew Fox of Lost. Matthew Fox of Lost is 48. Scott Porter is 35. And Imagine Dragons singer Dan Reynolds is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It was my decision to get clean. I did it for me. Admittedly, I probably did it subliminally for you so I could come back a brand new me. You helped see me through and don't even realize what you did because you believe me, you.
Oh, God.
No wonder he sold out two days.
We have got the hookup for you today on the show, including tickets to the red carpet premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy, one of the most anticipated movies of the summer. Also, tickets to see the LA Galaxy take on Manchester United at the Rose Bowl, and tickets for Comic-Con. All that coming up this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Monday means our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
I know what I wanted to ask you. I was watching your TV show over the weekend. First of all, how many people do you have in the newsroom now? It looks like you've got about 400 people working for you on that TV show.
No. Are you kidding?
Every time I tune in, it's more crowded. You're going to have to start doing your show at the Rose Bowl.
That's actually the opposite, because we've had a lot of people on vacation, so... if anything, it's
but you have seat fillers. You have people come in and act like they're doing something.
Oh, you're looking in the background.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many people on the show. And the thing I wanted to ask you is, I always wonder about this. You have a lot of young, attractive people who talk sexy talk during the show. You have a lot of hookups in the office, Harvey?
Well, they don't tell me
in the office. Yeah. Hey, Harvey, just wanted you to know. I just nailed her out there at lunch.
No, I don't mean literally office. No. I mean among your employees. Is there a lot of dating going on? And are you kind of like dad?
There's some. Just because they hang out with each other all the time.
Right.
So there's definitely some.
Yeah. Well,
there's a difference between relationships and hookups.
Well, that's true. That's an excellent. You just prefer not to know. You're dad, and you just want to look the other way, right?
Yeah. No. I have never checked Instagram.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of the stories up on the site right now. You got some great stuff, including never before seen, at least that I'm aware of, footage of Kanye West from a reality TV show. This is like the last person you would expect to show up on reality TV, right?
That's the thing. I mean, he's always kind of acted like reality TV's beneath him, and that, he's, married to Kim in spite of her reality show, and it's all kind of grudging.
Right.
Well, in 2010, this is before he hooked up with Kim, he did this lame reality show pilot with his travel agent, who was billing himself as a travel agent to the stars, and he's laying on the sofa. It's really funny.
Well, what is it? What's the concept of the reality show?
It's like booking flights for stars and then getting cameos from stars on there. It didn't sell, if that helps you.
Booking flights for stars? That sounds terrible.
I know. So Kanye is laying on the sofa talking to the travel agent, and the first thing he says is, "You booked my connection wrong. If you're booking me through, like, Dusseldorf, you should go straight through London, because if you don't go through London, there's going to be a four-hour, layover here." And so he's kind of a humble brag on how much he knows about flying.
Yeah, of course, he micromanages every aspect of everyone else's life.
Right. So, but then the best part, he starts talking, but he says, "So let me tell you why I hate airports." And it's crazy.
What?
Because it's important, because remember, airports are what got him in so much trouble.
Sure.
He's had two criminal cases. He's had lawsuits. He's had all sorts of problems at airports. And you always wonder, why airports? And he says, that's where people ask him the stupidest questions. And it seems like at first, he's talking about everybody, even other travelers. And then he kind of is talking about paparazzi. But he really has this loathing hatred for airports. Anyway, the pilot looked terrible and it didn't sell.
Well, yeah. How could it not go with such a great concept as celebrities booking airfare?
I know.
That's terrible.
They also talk about what kind of hotels they like, Kevin.
He can follow that up with celebrities order food at a restaurant.
it's on the TripAdvisor's channel.
Unbelievable.
And it's hilarious. This travel agent looks like a roadie for Metallica, too. And he has zero personality.
Wow.
All right. Speaking of zero personality, let's shift our attention to Paris Hilton over the 4th of July weekend. And the fascinating thing, before you tell us about the brawl and the police involvement, the fascinating thing for me is that I forget how rich she is sometimes. How much is she paying for this place a month, Harvey?
What did I say? $65,000 a month?
$65,000 a month for a rental!
Month.
A rental!
For a rental in Malibu.
Unbelievable.
And so she's having, five or six people over, and this is just so great. I mean, this is where you think, okay, rich people don't necessarily, have a better life than you.
Right.
So, six of them are hanging out. So Jeremy Jackson, who is the former star of Baywatch and then went into celebrity rehab, and he's become this, he's huge. Not as a celebrity, he's just huge.
Right.
He shows up at the door with some friends, and Brandon Davis is there, and Brandon kind of goes, ugh, at the door, because it's Jeremy. So first of all, why'd you let him in? So he comes in, and they decide they want him out. So they say, get out of here. Again, why do they let him
in? Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Then he pulls, according to Paris, he pulls the, I love this. This is the quote that she's telling people. Don't you know who I am? I was on Baywatch in Celebrity Rehab.
Really? He listed Celebrity Rehab as one of his credits?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
So then Jeremy, according to Paris, grabs one of the guys, starts choking him out.
Thanks for tuning in here on a Monday morning. Got some great guests this week on the Kevin Bean Show for you, including our friend Tim from Rise Against. He'll be on the program tomorrow. Actress Diane Kruger on Wednesday. Eddie Ift on the show. Judy Greer will be here. Dr. Drew. And Friday, Weird Al Yankovic, ladies and gentlemen, stops by the Kevin Bean Show. His brand new album, Mandatory Fun, comes out tomorrow. Near the end of the show on Friday, Kevin, the word came out that LeBron was going back to Cleveland. And we were, as sports fans, we were excited about the news.
Yeah, sure.
Not as excited as they were at 92.3 The Fan, the CBS sports radio station in Cleveland. Here's how that announcement came down on their air.
92.3 The Fan, 2020 Sports. Guys, the decision is over. LeBron James, a Cleveland Cavalier.
How about
yes!
That?
Yes, he announced it to Lee Jenkins on Sports Illustrated, posted moments ago. It has been authenticated. LeBron James is coming to Cleveland. He writes it out. He says, I'm coming home.
That was at noon Cleveland time on Friday. The host of the weekday afternoon show on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland is Adam the Bull. He's on the Bull and Fox program, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Adam, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thanks, fellas. I'm doing great. It's Monday. We still have LeBron. We haven't lost him yet. I'm doing great.
Yeah. What was it like for you, before we talk about Friday, you've been in Cleveland sports radio for a long time. What was it like for you the last 4 years seeing Miami and LeBron James in the NBA Finals?
Well, I mean, it was painful for the people here, and it was painful for me. But I didn't grow up in Cleveland, so it wasn't as painful for me, although I never liked LeBron, and I've admitted this in Cleveland. Because, you know, I grew up in New York, so I didn't even like LeBron when he was playing for the Cavs.
Right.
But for the fans, it was so painful. But I didn't realize, I never truly realized what he meant. As much anger as there was, I never truly realized how much he meant to this city until the moment it got announced he was coming back. And then it hit everybody like a ton of bricks.
Then everybody went crazy.
Is it because he's it? I mean, you go to New York or here in Los Angeles, we have lots of stars and lots of diversions.
Right.
In Cleveland, he's it, right? He's the only thing.
That's it. That's it, guys. You know, you guys are in L.A. I spent most of my life in New York. We're used to all the stars coming to us. They're not used to that in Cleveland. They're used to the stars, the few they get, going away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when one star, their star, the guy who was born and raised here, left, it was devastating. And for him to now say, okay, I learned my lesson, I went out there for a few years, I won my championships, I went to a bigger city in Miami, and now I want to come home with my people of Cleveland, of Akron, of Northeast Ohio, it meant a lot. For once the star was coming home, for once the star chose Cleveland over the big city.
Is this the first time a superstar has gotten away from Cleveland and then made a decision on purpose to go back?
It's the only time I can think of. The
yeah,
only thing that's anywhere close to this is Bernie Kosar, who's from this area, and then he went to Miami for college, and then he comes back to the Browns. But he wasn't. I mean, he was a free agent.
Right.
He got drafted here, but it was a supplemental draft, and he wanted to be here. So it's kind of similar. He went to Miami for 4 years. That's the only thing, even in the ballpark.
Now, LeBron James, obviously, when he left, it was a huge deal, and he did a very poor job of it, PR-wise.
No doubt.
You know, leaving the team, leaving the city. Did you get any sense that he missed home? Any sense that he thought he was going to end his career in Cleveland? All the stuff that he said since he made the decision, it makes it sound like he's been planning this all along, like he couldn't wait to get back to Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, I'll give my partner credit because my partner's from here originally, and he for the last few months has been saying, I think he's going to come back. It means so much to him. And maybe it's because I'm not originally from here that I just didn't see it. Because, guys, when do we hear about guys wanting to go home in sports?
Never.
You never really hear
Never.
Right. You hear players say, oh, I want to do this for my family, I want to do that for my family, and then they just go wherever they go. It's all lip service. So I was never totally buying that. But in the end, it's clear, A, he's been thinking about this for a while, and B, that the overriding reason why he came back is had nothing to do with the Heat and, frankly, had very little to do with the Cavs. It had to do with coming home.
Right.
Friends and family.
It just happened to be his home team.
Right. What's the Dan Gilbert is popular in Cleveland right now for negotiating this return, but how have you guys liked him as an owner over the past few years? I mean, you know, I know he regrets the letter that he wrote when LeBron left, but when he said, we're going to win a title before LeBron is in Miami, it didn't seem like he did anything to make that happen with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Has he been a good owner for you?
I feel like until this point, it's hard to say this today because LeBron's back. And I don't know how much credit he deserves, but I have been very harsh with Dan Gilbert. I think overall he's been treated well by the media here in Cleveland. Most people have kind of defended him, and there's been criticism in the last few months up until now. I've been pretty harsh, though, in most of the years that I've been here. I have not been a huge fan. I think, you know, LeBron was already here when he became the owner of the Cavs, and until now, he had never really brought any significant piece to Cleveland. He failed to get good players around LeBron the first time around. You know, the only significant piece that's been added since he's been here is Kyrie Irving and now Andrew Wiggins because the Cavs happened to get the first overall pick in those two drafts. But now, I mean, with him, with LeBron coming back, whether Dan Gilbert deserves any credit or not, he gets credit. I'm not going to rip him on this day because it makes no sense. In the end, LeBron's back. However much credit you want to give him, I guess is up to you. But I don't think Dan Gilbert's done a particularly good job in the past.
From what I heard, and of course I'm not an insider, I was, you know, SportsCenter or whatever, but from what I heard, it sounds like LeBron went back sort of in spite of him.
There's definitely some truth to that, guys. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there has been reports that, you know, the letter was the hard thing to get over. I think that was overblown in the end. I know Chris Broussard had a report on that the day LeBron said he was coming back, so clearly that report was wrong because the decision had already been made by that point. They had a meeting last Sunday, and, you know, they kind of came to grips with it. I don't think LeBron loves Dan Gilbert. I don't think Dan Gilbert loves LeBron. They both handled it poorly. You mentioned before a bad PR by LeBron. He handled it. You know, he had the right to leave as a free agent.
Right.
Everybody does.
Right.
But the way he handled it to humiliate the city like he did was very harsh. He was wrong. He's admitted that. Dan Gilbert's letter was idiotic. I mean, he sounded like a complete fool with that letter.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking there. But he did it, and he apologized. He should have taken the letter down a long time ago. He should have, in my opinion, apologized a while ago because it was a foolish letter. But he's matured, I guess. Clearly, LeBron James is matured, guys. Both on and off the court. He's a
Absolutely.
Much better player and a much more mature person than when he left Cleveland 4 years ago.
Any place he goes has a great chance of making it to the finals. Is the rest of the Cleveland team good enough for that to happen?
I believe it is. I know there's some guys that don't think so right now, and there's still some pieces to add. I don't think the team's a finished product. But think about it this way, guys. The Cavs went to the finals with LeBron the first time around when he was not close to being as good a player as he is now.
Yeah.
And they had the best players they had was Adrunas Ilgauskas and Mo Williams. They have Kyrie Irving, one of the, at worst, 30 best players in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not without his flaws. He needs to get better defensively. He needs to be a little less selfish, but it's easy to be a little less selfish when LeBron James is your teammate. Throw in guys like the first overall pick, Andrew Wiggins. Again, he's unproven, but immense talent.
Right.
Deion Waiters, who was an early pick a couple of years ago, who, you know, I think it is better than anybody they had the first time around. So, yeah, and the East is not that good.
Yeah.
All the good teams, as you guys know, play out West, most
Absolutely.
Of them.
By the way, I'm sure you're aware of this. This is the voice of Adam the Bull, co-host of the Bull and Fox Show, weekday afternoons at 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. We're talking about LeBron coming home. I'm sure you know this, Adam, but the Cavs are the favorites in Las Vegas right now to win the title, 5-1 odds.
That's right. I thought it was 3-1, but I think
that's crazy.
5-1. I guess it depends on the book. There's different odds, but you're right. They are I've seen them everywhere as either the favorites or the co-favorites with San Antonio. I mean, who's better in the East right now? I think Miami, assuming they signed Dwayne Wade, is still pretty good, but not as good as Cleveland.
Agreed.
Chicago, they signed Pau Gasol from you guys. You know, so they're pretty good, but can Derrick Rose stay healthy there? That's a big question mark. He's been hurt the last couple of years. Indiana fell apart at the second half of last year, and that's basically it in the East. So I think the Cavs are as good as anybody. You know, obviously Oklahoma City and San Antonio still are really good, but I think the Cavs have a great chance.
Well,
Kevin Love, guys.
Yeah, I know that still is a possibility. Absolutely,
yeah.
We're so excited for you. We're so excited for the city of Cleveland, and this has to be great. I mean, now that you're past the 4th of July, you're gearing up for winter. That's any day now, right? That starts.
Right. I mean, guys, you're joking, but I'm telling you, this was the longest winter ever. I mean, it was winter here, no joke, from like Thanksgiving to Memorial Day. It was winter.
It was rough.
Months.
That's God saying, hey, people, don't live there.
Well, congratulations again, Adam, and best of luck on the show at 92.3 The Fan, and I hope that everything works out the way Cleveland fans want it to. I hope that you guys win a ton of titles. Thanks for the time today.
We
appreciate it.
It'll be pretty exciting. Guys, it's been since 1964 since there's been a title in Cleveland.
Wow.
I think that drought finally ends in the next few years. Thank you for having me, guys.
You bet. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Thanks for tuning in here on a Monday. Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, have you noticed that Beer Mug is back from vacation? Beer Mug in studio with us right now.
I don't want to talk about it.
Beer Mug, this is Ralph. Ralph Beer Mug, say hello.
I'm not looking. Woo! I don't want to talk. I don't want to say hi. Nothing.
Can't look him in the eye?
What?
Yeah.
Never mind.
I know. Exactly. I'm with you.
Forget it.
I'm with the what guy?
I'm not going to waste my breath anymore. Stop wasting your breath. That's what those people in the white showed me on those cards the other day.
That's true.
Right. So I'm just not going to do it anymore. Try to catch up with that on the weekend, that leftover show.
I love it.
That show's BS.
I love it.
That show is B.
I think I'm more in Ralph's camp on this one, by the way.
Love it.
Come on. Really? How can you love it?
It's crap.
It's crap.
I love it. I don't know. I just like
it. It is the most desperate, overwritten show on television. How does this work mystery riddles that they try to jam into the first episode?
All.
Yeah. Everybody's gone, and that guy gives magic hugs, and those people don't speak and smoke. Why? We don't know. And that other thing, we don't know what that is either.
I love it so far.
Oh, my God. They want to be lost so bad.
I love it so far.
They end up just being lost. Why do you love it? What's compelling about that show?
I don't know. Those questions.
It's just questions for questions' sake.
Well, maybe. Maybe it'll
layered on top, on, to be on, that top way, but... on top, on top, on top.
Why it's can't just they speak?
Overwritten and desperate.
Yeah.
The whole show just based on, if we found out everything tomorrow, the show would be over. You wouldn't give a rat's ass about any of those people.
Right, but that's why they don't give you all the answers. I don't know. I like it so far.
The great thing about Lost was one thing happened.
Right.
That was a compelling story that happened. And then from that one event, it's spiderwebbed out. It like a shattered window pane. The cracks just led you on all different directions.
But that's
directions.
Sort of like this, where
it's nothing like this.
This
is a brick through a plate glass window, right? If they had started with one day, a third, 1% or 2% of the population disappeared,
right?
Then go from there, and then.
But that's what they did, didn't they?
No, they hit you with, these people don't talk, and they don't smoke, and, oh, this guy gives magic hugs, and people pay him, and he lives in a compound.
Well, maybe they moved a little fast.
How do you think? We didn't meet Mr. Echo until, like, season 3 of Lost.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they would give you a story that led to a story that led to a story. They didn't dump everything on you. Oh, look how mysterious we are and how interesting we are. Aren't you compelled? Isn't this fascinating?
I'm in.
No. Well,
so far, I'm in.
You're just a...
Don't forget to kill all the dogs, Ralph.
The dogs are attacking, too, and they're... Oh, who's the mystery dog hunter?
They're not our dogs anymore.
Question mark.
Yeah. I hear you.
Desperate. Desperate. Desperate.
I like it. So far.
You're a simple man.
I am a simple man.
Simple, simple man. They know they can just pull the wool over your eyes anytime they put any crap on the screen.
And to bring it back to the beginning of this conversation, why couldn't Beer Mug have been one of those that was taken?
That's what we're saying.
How dare you?
It's the most important question out of that.
Oh, it's not the rapture. Oh, I'm a crazy reverend. Here, take a flyer. Stop it. Just stop it.
Kiss the dead guy. Remember that? That was good. That was strong. He would never let me do that when he was alive.
I want Ralph's one-man show of actually got the leftovers.
It is Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in its debut, $73 million. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong.
And it's good, Kevin?
I loved it.
Well, can you take Kevin's word for anything now?
No, it's good. Because for once, I have a position that the critics agree with, for once. It got pretty good critical review, right?
It did. People liked it.
Very much so.
It
was really good.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I was going to go see it, but now Kevin likes it. Now I can't.
How dare you?
$73 million. Transformers Age of Extinction was second with $16.5 million. Show you what a significant drop-off from 1 to 2. Then Tammy, 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2. Earth to Echo.
What is that?
I don't know anything about that.
It's a kid's movie about a little alien robot owl.
All right.
Okay.
Who comes to Earth, and the kids fall in love with it, and they try to get him to go home or something. I don't know. They feed him little robot mice or something. I don't know how it works, but... Deliver Us from Evil, Seventh Maleficent, Begin Again, and Jersey Boys are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Interesting casting news. Great casting news, actually. Michael McKean, it's been announced by AMC, will be joining Bob Odenkirk in the series Better Call Saul, the spinoff of Breaking Bad.
That's fantastic news.
It is, because Michael McKean is one of my favorite actors. He'll be
Has he acted much since that that terrible car accident? Rough?
Yeah, he was a regular on a show called Family Tree over on HBO.
I saw that. Okay.
That Christopher Guest put together.
He was just sitting on the couch a lot for that he one. Was. I was just worried what his health was like since he got
by
hit
all
by a car.
He is fully rehabbed and is doing great. So.
He's great.
Yeah. Speaking of rehab, Tracy Morgan has been released from rehab, where he, of course, was recovering from that horrific auto accident that involved his limo bus and the driver of a Walmart truck. Tracy has filed a lawsuit against Walmart for negligence. He claims that Walmart allows their employees to drive without sleeping for 24 hours, and that's what this guy had done, and that's what caused the crash, was him falling asleep behind the wheel. No word yet on what they're looking for in punitive damages, but I can imagine it's significant.
I don't know how you prove how much sleep he got in the last 24 hours, you know what I mean? Like, it may be true, but I don't know how you prove it in court.
Well, they apparently have some information.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't read all of the lawsuit. A Hollywood Reporter posted it. But the guy himself claimed he went 13 hours of driving. And I think the federal law is like 11 and a half or something like that. So I'm sure this will all come out in court. But they claim he was overly tired and that Walmart either knew about it or should have known about it. And that's where their negligence came in. So we'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays, Harry Dean Stanton, terrific actor, 88 years old today. Actor Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos, played Big Pussy on that show. He's 68. Kyle Gass from Tenacious D. Love Cage. He is 54 years old. And Jane Lynch from Glee turns 54 as well. Jackie Earle Haley is 53. Matthew Fox is 48. And Scott Porter is 35. And Imagine Dragons singer Dan Reynolds turns 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We're going to tell you how you can win a pass to San Diego Comic-Con this half hour in about 5 minutes right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Kevin, you know who the meanest woman in the world is?
I hope not my wife.
The woman who says the words back to school when it's the middle of July.
Yeah.
That's the meanest woman in the world for kids who are listening right now. But unfortunately, it's got to be done because we got to plan for things, right? Hi, Melissa. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Melissa is the very nice lady who runs friendsandhelpers.org, which is an outstanding local charity that does lots of good stuff, including the back to school program. And we're at that time of year again already where we have to start thinking about backpacks and snacks.
We do. And, you know, I know it seems a little early, but a lot of kids go back to school the first week in August. And because that's the way the system is now. So we've got to help and we've got to be organized. And I need everybody to give me a little help there with that.
Take us back to why backpacks. What's that all about?
Okay. So everybody remembers their first day of school. And when you go back to school, getting your school supplies is very exciting. And there's people who can't get those items that they need. They can't get their backpacks. They can't get their snacks to sit with their friends. You guys all remember your puddings sitting there. It was very fun, very exciting. And we work in the community of domestic abuse and single parents and kids. And what we do is we put together backpacks with your basic items and with snacks so kids can go to school and feel like they fit in. And that's our whole goal, is just to make them feel just like they fit in with their regular group. It's not a huge thing, but it's a very, very important thing.
Yeah, the problem is we work with abused women and children. They usually have to run from the house for their safety. They have no money. So when it gets to be back to school time, they don't have a backpack and they don't have a book and paper and
they
pencils.
They don't have a spiral notebook. And, you know, these are things that, by the way, you know, in our school systems now, they provide nothing. So we have to help provide that for them. And, you know, we have a little bit of help. You know, we have help. You know, we've got Galpin, who provides our truck. We have CPK, who provides certain things for us, which is great, and we appreciate that. And I know a lot of people are out there and they're struggling, but if you can find a way just to help us a little bit, you know, we've got to get thousands of backpacks to people, and we're working with Roe and some other people, but we have the need is great. You know, I sent out an email to people saying, look, what's it looking like this year? And it came back stronger than ever. It's a hard time out there with people with a lot of changes, but we've got people out there. They just need something so their kids can go back to school. It's so easy. You could just go on our website and adopt a backpack, and then a kid goes to school and feels good.
$25 if you want to just do that, and 100% of the money that you donate goes right into that backpack for those kids.
Yes, there's 100% of what we do goes to the cause. So that's really great. There's no administrative fees, nothing. And these people all, they're all in programs getting therapy. They're getting help. These are not people who are not trying to get better in the world.
Okay. So there's two ways to help. You can go to friendsandhelpers.org, like you said, and you can make a donation of any amount, or you can do the $25 Adopt-A-Backpack or whatever. You also have a drop-off thing that you're doing coming up on Sunday, July 27th in Hollywood, and this is where people can bring by new school supplies, whether it's pencils or erasers or markers, rulers, glue sticks, whatever else. People can just stop by, and that's where you're going to be putting the backpacks together, right?
And we need you to come help us put the backpacks together. Or you can bring gift cards so people can buy school clothes, or you can bring snacks for our snack pack drive. Bring your kids. Come join us. Great way to teach your kids about, you know, other people in the world and what they need. It's a really fun day. You come early in the morning. Stop by for 15 minutes. Stop by for an hour. And be part of what we do. And it's a really good experience. People get a lot out of it. We've never had anybody come and not enjoy their time with us.
It is funny. We've put a lot of time and effort into this. And by we, I mean my wife.
and my team.
I'm just a beautiful spokesmodel. But it is more, I think it helps us more than it does the people that are getting the backpacks. I mean, I know that it makes a big difference in their lives. But for us, it's amazing how you sort of feel paid back. We had a guy who came by for back to school, and he didn't know what it was. He just stopped by in the street, and we told him what it was. He went and got some school supplies, and he brought them back, and he's like, this is really awesome. And then he said, I'll be right back. And he left and went back and bought more school supplies and then came back.
We also had a very delightful group of bikers who pulled up and said, here's a bunch of cash, and you don't even have to get on the pole to get it. So all, you know, everybody has their reasons, and we welcome all. And again, I hope there's a day I don't have to come here, but I appreciate the audience and that you guys are coming out to support us. And it's just something we can do to help a lot of people and get them there so that when the moms give their backpacks to the kids and then the kids go to school, it's a whole cycle that we're breaking and a whole group of people that we're helping.
Yeah, you're bringing a little bit of normalcy to lives that have been anything but. How do you handle keeping Kevin away from the snack packs? Because I just can't imagine you could have cookies and chips and popcorn, things like that around for backpacks.
They have cards.
Okay, good. I'm worried.
Yeah,
I'm worried.
I feed him before. So that works out.
But we always like to say, too, if you can't help this year, keep us in mind in the future. Or if you're not interested in this particular cause, help someone somewhere.
Yeah, just do something for somebody else. Maybe we're not your, you know, cup of tea. That's fine. But just as long as you're aware that there's other people out there that need help. You know, that's just the world we live in. This is just what we choose to do. And the K-Rock audience has been so great to us. And actually, like our partnership with California Pizza Kitchen came because they heard us here, which was great. And
that's
you,
great.
And you guys get food because of that. But
and there really is, if I can butt in, Melissa, there really is no donation that is too small, because if somebody literally gives a dollar, you can buy something with that for a backpack.
Yes, and we utilize that. We aren't, you know, some charities won't accept that. We do. We're grateful for everything, and you can call us if there's like, maybe you work at Snack Pack and you want to give us that, or you work at a water company or something. Call me up. You'll talk to me and we'll work it out, or email me, because we are all just trying to make it, put it all together and get it to those in need. And because we have Galpin, they give us the trucks, we can get it there. And Roe, the guys, they'll deliver it. So we piece it together and we make it work.
Everything is at friendsandhelpers.org. Spell out and friendsandhelpers.org.
Yes.
And the event, if you want to come by in person, by the way, and work right alongside Kevin and Melissa and all the great volunteers, is going to be on Sunday, July 27th, and that is going to be in Hollywood. You can get the exact address and times and details and directions and all that stuff at the website, friendsandhelpers.org. Thanks so much for coming in. Good luck with this year.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, we need to take a break. We're going to come back and give you Comic-Con tickets. Know your superheroes. 1-800-520-1067.
It's a little awkward for me personally every year when Ralph tries to glom onto our Comic-Con deal, but what are we going to do? I guess
for
we have
years.
To let him tag along with
for
us again
years.
This year.
Woohoo! Yeah. The nerds are going to Comic-Con. You'd mock me and my friends, and now you've recognized that we rule and you drool. And you go down there and you just co-opt and you sit there and you do your little radio show from Comic-Con every year because you are weak.
Is that how you remember it, Kevin? I remember him like grabbing onto our coattails.
I remember him being upset at us and saying, God. Oh, you guys, you go down there and you dress up like your favorite cartoon characters or whatever it is they do. And he was very upset about that.
You go there every year, and it is whatever it is that they do down there.
Right.
Whatever we did. Obviously, it is the hottest ticket in the world, mm-hmm. and it sells out the minute it goes on sale. And that's why the fact that we have 2 one-day passes to San Diego Comic-Con to give away right now to you, the Kevin and Bean Lister, is pretty amazing. Hit it, Steve!
It's the Comic Contest. You know, we live in a golden age for nerds. On television, this season coming up in September, there's going to be more superheroes and comic book heroes on television than ever in the history of the medium.
I love it.
It's super exciting. So I thought what I would do is I will describe for our listeners the a superhero or comic book character that will be on television this fall. Yeah,
okay.
We've got the CW that's got the shows. We've got NBC is going to have a new comic book show. Netflix is going to have a new comic book show. So I will describe the hero or comic book character. All you need to do is identify that comic book character. And should we do sudden death first two who get it right?
If you think the questions are tough, maybe that's the way to go.
Yeah. I don't know. Or should we do a drawing? They're not that tough, but it's hard for me to sometimes determine because obviously I'm a super nerd and we have varying degrees of success sometimes
with
these games.
I think let's just sudden death it. Let's just give them away.
The first two people are right.
Then it's going to be a very short contest.
That's what I'm saying. Let's do a drawing.
All right,
we'll do a drawing.
Okay.
Let's do a drawing.
Okay. Muggs, can you do a drawing?
Got
you. All right.
Who's up first?
Oh, sorry.
We have to go to the listeners now, Kevin.
First is James from Orange.
Need some people to play the game.
I was thinking, why isn't Ralph giving away any tickets?
Right.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Hi. James, you know your comic book heroes?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here you go. I'm going to describe one for you. You have to tell me who it is.
Okay.
A scientist discovers the power of a white dwarf star allows him to shrink down to subatomic size.
Is that... The Atom?
The Atom! Well done, James.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
All right, so he is in the drawing.
He's going to be on TV this fall. Very exciting.
Stupid.
Awesome.
Frank in Montebello. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Frank. A police scientist gained super speed when bathed in chemicals after a shelf of them was struck by lightning.
It's super easy. It's a Flash.
The Flash, indeed.
That.
Well done, sir. You're in the drawing. Hold on.
You're our peeps.
He's my peeps.
Let's go to Sean in Canoga Park. Hi there.
Hello.
Sean, here's your comic book character. A lawyer is blinded by a radioactive substance that heightens his remaining senses beyond normal human ability.
Beautiful. That's a Daredevil.
Daredevil!
Wow.
Daredevil!
Nailing him.
Daredevil's going to be on Netflix this fall. I can't wait.
Tell us.
Stop.
Let's go to Wilded Hills and Taylor. Hi there.
Morning. Morning, Lisa.
Hi. Hello. All right, hold on, Taylor. Here's your comic book hero. A high school student and a Nobel Prize-winning physicist are caught in a nuclear accident that allows them to fuse into the Nuclear Man.
Firestorm?
Yeah, he got it at the buzzer.
Just at the buzzer.
How about that? Very
Firestorm,
impressive.
Firestorm, the Nuclear Man at the buzzer. Well done.
You Google quickly. Nicely done. Let's go to Matt in L.A. Hi.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Matt. A billionaire businessman is stranded on an island where he learns to become a world-class archer.
That is Green Arrow.
Green Arrow, indeed.
Five for five, by the way, so far here.
Five for fighting, too.
A lot of Kevin and Bean's people out there.
That's right. Ralph's people.
Right, whatever. Ernie in Ladera Ranch. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Ernie. Here's your comic book character. A chain-smoking British working-class magician and con man uses his talents as an occult detective.
Oh, my gosh.
Best known for his work with Swamp Thing. That's another hint.
Come on, a guy named Ernie has to go to Comic-Con. Get this.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
No, it's John Constantine is his
John
name.
John Constantine, of course.
He'll be on NBC this fall.
All right, we got time for just one more, Ralph.
No, we don't. We're out of questions.
Okay, we're out. So it's time for the drawing. So five are in the hopper. Only two can win.
No, they're in the hopper.
One day passes to San Diego's Comic-Con at the San Diego Convention Center. Beer Mug, who's our winners, please?
James. Line one.
First player, James.
Congratulations, James.
Yeah, right on.
Hold on for the details.
You're going to Comic-Con. Who else is going to Comic-Con?
Oh, Frank.
Two names, Beer Mug.
Unbelievable.
Wow, what an idiot.
Thank you, guys.
Frank, you're going to Comic-Con. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Mugs didn't want you to go, but we're with you going, so congratulations.
Thanks for tuning in here on a Monday morning. We're going to be looking for you if you are or have been a dumpster diver next hour. Also, what about Taylor Swift's plan that you should charge the cost of an album should be based on how much heart and soul the artist put into it? Is that a reason?
Yes. Art means money. That's absurd.
Is that a reasonable suggestion?
Because you might be terrible at it, and you might work for years. You might slave away at it for years, and it's crap.
Well, then you put it on the heart and soul scale.
It's absurd.
I think she makes some excellent points. Hey, speaking of music, I thought this was super fun, and I think you guys,
let us be the judge of that.
Listeners will enjoy it as well. It's a website called slate.com that always has lots of interesting stuff on there, and they put up a quiz recently that I thought was really fun, and it is, can you identify these 90s hit songs based on the first second?
The first one second
of the song. It's not as difficult as you might think it is, and this is in the exact order that they came out on the website. There's no preference given based on who gets what, but I thought it might be fun for Kevin and Ralph to play this game where we just go back and forth, and you name that song
based on one second.
And these are all going to be songs you know. These are all big hit songs from the 1990s, and Kevin, we'll let you go first because this way you'll get at least one. Because
it smells like Teen Spirit.
You are correct.
Oh, wow.
Fix!
I'm not playing this game. F you people.
I didn't know. I just guessed the biggest song of the 90s.
Is it Smells Like Team Spirit, Beer Bug?
Yes, it is! Seriously.
How did you do that?
I rule. I just picked the biggest song
of
the 90s.
No, I didn't. Did you see the quiz on Slate.com? I did not.
I picked the biggest song of the 90s. I'm not playing this game. Oh, don't be a baby.
I'm not playing it.
Just because I'm going to smoke you.
I know Beer Mug is busy. Dave, maybe you can keep score in the other office because Lisa's not here today. So Dave, keep score.
I'll do it. Don't worry about that.
So Kevin is ahead. Yeah. He's got 1 point. Ralph, you were up first. Here's your song. Can you name this 90s song in 1 second?
Macarena.
Is it the Macarena?
Yeah!
Wow.
Yeah!
I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah!
All right, Kevin, back to you.
Gangster's Paradise.
You are correct.
It's on.
It is on. All right, Ralph, here's yours.
All right.
I'll give it to you again.
No, I got nothing.
I would have nothing for that as well.
I got nothing.
Let's hear it. You're still the one I run to,
the one that I belong to. Is that country?
Shania Twain. Yeah. Big number one
you
pop song.
Played
too.
That whole song for me, and I would have
it. Like I said, these are in no particular order, just as they were presented
on
the website.
Ralph got that one though.
All right, Kevin, here's yours.
One more time. Spears. Yeah. Yes, one more time. No. Britney Spears. Yeah, that's the name of it, isn't it? Britney Spears. Baby. Oh, shoot. What's the name of it?
One more time is the name of it.
I think you're close enough. Yeah. We'll give it to you, sure. All right, well done.
I thought you were trying to throw me off by saying one more time. That's the name of it, isn't it?
Hit me one more time.
Hit me baby one more time.
Okay. All right, Ralph is up next.
Oh, I got three.
Oh, I Will Always Love You.
You are correct.
We'll always love you.
Hey, by the way, what do we win?
Just a prize? That's a good question. We should look into it.
Can we get
earlier.
A trophy? Or?
This is the first time Kevin ever had a possibility of winning a contest.
You?
So now he's interested in what the prize is.
I want to know what the prize is.
You're just playing for pride here. All right. Hey, Dave, what's the score right now for those of us who aren't keeping track?
Even though you gave Kevin that bogus answer, it's 3-2.
How dare you? I think he was pretty darn close.
Yes,
he said baby and one more time.
Yes, he did.
All right. I think it's Kevin's turn here, right?
Yep.
Here we go. One more?
Wow.
That's tough.
I think you'll know this one.
I don't know it from that. Is Ralph get a chance at it or no?
I don't know. We've never played this game before. It does seem like Ralph should be able to steal it if Kevin doesn't know it and vice versa. Right, Ralph, you want to take a go at it?
I don't think I have anything either. I would not have known that from that first beat.
No. Ace of base.
All right.
All right. So this is Ralph's turn, right?
Yep.
One more time.
Got it.
Sound familiar at all, Ralph?
No, not really.
That is Pearl Jam.
Yes.
Even Flow?
No.
Jeremy by Pearl Jam.
All right.
Do I get something for knowing the man?
No.
No,
you don't. Stop looking for things to get. There's nothing to get for you.
I don't normally play like this, Ralph, so I'm actually in the running.
All right. Kevin's up next. Listen up. We're identifying 90s songs from the first second. Here's the next one. It's another huge hit. One more time.
Oh, man. That's familiar, but I can't
I Want It That Way by one of those boys bands.
Yes, the Backstreet Boys.
I'm sort of upset that I got that.
did they give Kevin that drug that they give the apes in the Planet of the Apes? What happened all of a sudden to him coming up with titles?
I know.
How dare you?
This is crazy. All right, Dave, what's the score, please?
Kevin 4, Ralph 2.
Yeah.
I only got 2?
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
All right, here's what's up next. This whole game has been fixed, right?
Yeah, really.
Kevin had the answers before we started. All right, we got time for a couple more.
That's for me?
That's yours.
My Heart Will Go On.
That's right. You are correct. Celine Dion. That, I think, is the biggest song of the 1990s,
I think.
All right, Kevin, you're up next. One more time.
Hero by Foo Fighters?
No, I know what that is.
What is that?
Ooh, is Ralph going to steal?
Is this Only Want to Be With You, Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yes!
I only want to be with you.
Come on!
Hootie!
Well done!
Are we tied, Dave?
Ralph with a comeback!
Woo!
Come on!
Come back with Hootie!
And I think it's Ralph's turn right now, isn't it?
Oh, I can take it all! I can take it all with this one!
It's a comeback of biblical proportions.
And technically, we are out of time, and Kevin did go first, so this could be the last one. So if you don't get this, we end with a tie. If you do get this, you win. Is that right, Ralph?
Just like soccer.
That's right.
Exactly. All right, here we go.
Oh, come on!
One more time.
I know it!
It's Alanis Morissette. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to think of it.
Ironic. Isn't it ironic?
You ought to know.
Yeah! We have a winner, ladies and gentlemen.
Come back, kids!
Even though Kevin cheated.
Come on. I can't win even when I'm cheaters. Don't prosper, Kevin.
I should learn. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Ralph is here, fresh off his triumphant victory moments ago here on the Kevin and Bean Show with a look at the showbiz beat here for a Monday.
It's good. It's good to win. Christine called me the L.A. Kings of music trivia.
All right.
It was that kind of comeback. It was that kind of comeback.
You were down 3-0 to San Jose and came back and won it all.
Just saying.
That makes me San Jose. How dare you?
It is Monday morning here on the Showbiz Beat. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in its debut, Monster Weekend, $73 million made it number one. By all accounts, the movie is excellent. Critics seem to like it. The fans like it. Kevin even liked it.
You know what the difference is between that and Transformers? Transformers had great special effects and basically didn't care about the story or the lines or anything else. They just featured the special. This had great special effects as well, but it was almost like a, like in the background. It's not important that it has great special effects.
There was balance. There was balance.
Yes. The story was great. You cared about the people. You understood what was going on. And it was amazing.
Special effects only work when they're serving the story. You can't make them a star of the movie. It just never pans out.
Well, they did that really well with Planet of the
Apes. Now, Kevin, you being you, though, you root for the monkeys, right?
Of course.
The vanilla gorilla, for sure. The only problem I have with this series is the titles are just ass backwards.
Dawn of the Planet.
I've been very troubled by Dawn.
I'm confused.
After Rise myself.
I'm trying to think, but it just doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes has to be that very beginning where it first happens, right? And then the Rise of the Planet of the Apes happens after the Dawn. That's when the planet sort of comes into being.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the titles are completely opposite. The beginning of the Planet of the Apes, the dawn of it, was called Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Now this one, which shows the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, is called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I spent 20 minutes trying to convince my wife of that this weekend, and I think she's ready to divorce me. I really do. She had an assful of me trying to describe that.
Oh, no. I've had a bean moment?
Yeah. You have had a bean moment.
Wow.
It's driving me crazy every time I see the titles to these movies that they're backwards.
I keep calling it the wrong movie because in my mind I'm thinking, well, the very beginning of the Planet of the Apes had to be the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, so I keep flipping the titles in my brain.
Because logically that's the way it makes sense.
Right. It should be.
It troubled you too, right, Kevin?
Oh, terribly.
Transformers Age of Extinction was second. Tammy, 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2. Those are the top five at the box office. Earth to Echo was sixth. Deliver Us from Evil, Maleficent, Begin Again, and Jersey Boys rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Tragic music news. The last original member, founding member of the Ramones has passed away. Tommy Ramone, drummer for the band. Producer or co-producer of many of their albums, passed away this weekend at the age of 65. He was the drummer behind the kit for the first three Ramone albums and their first live album, then decided he was better off in the studio than he was behind the skins. Marky Bell then took over as Marky Ramone. But it was Tommy Ramone that created that signature, that telltale Ramone driving beat on songs like Blitzkrieg Bop and other smash hits from their first three albums. It really sort of created the sound. So, sad news, and he will be missed.
It's really sad.
It is really sad. Rodney? Dick? Christopher Walken is going to play Captain Hook in a live-action version of the musical Peter Pan.
Why?
On NBC. Because it's awesome. Because they should do it just so Peter Pan, Captain Hook can be played by Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's good casting right there.
So, Pan, my hand was bitten off by a crocodile. Now I have this hook. I'm going to kill you.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
No, he has a hook, Kevin, not a wooden hand. It's a hook. That's why he's Captain Hook.
Oh, sure. Makes sense now.
Why?
Bobby Brown has quit the New Edition reunion tour. Last week we talked about the video that was circulating online of him just coughing up a lung trying to keep up with the dance moves of the rest of the band to the point where he had to go down and grab his knees to get a blow just to get some air back in. And then he walked off stage during the dance routine because he just couldn't keep up.
Just couldn't keep up.
Yeah, he is really fat and out of shape now.
Wow.
He is no longer a boy band member. He's quit.
And I'm not interested in New Edition without Bobby Brown either, by the way.
And the band said, at this time, Bobby needs to put his health first, so we're giving each and every show all we've got until his return. No word on when he will return.
I'm not interested in New Edition with or without Bobby Brown.
No. I love New Edition.
No.
Enjoy that.
Kevin's always been a Belle Biv DeVoe man.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why his cup is next to theirs on the big wall of slushy fame. He's got going to the Jamba Juice there. The Smoothie Hall of Fame is right next to Belle Biv DeVoe on the Wall of Fame. Today's celebrity birthday. Is that place still there?
I don't know.
Jamba Juice?
I honestly don't know.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Harry Dean Stanton's 88. Vincent Pastore,
from Sopranos is 68. Kyle Gass, KG, from Tenacious D, 54 years old. Jane Lynch, also 54. Jackie Earle Haley's 53. Matthew Fox, from Lost fame, is 48. Scott Porter's 35. And Imagine Dragons singer Dan Reynolds turns 27 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Got all sorts of Galaxy stuff for you on today's Kevin Bean Show, including tickets to see the LA Galaxy take on Manchester United at the Rose Bowl. Got those tickets for you later on. And Ralph will give you red carpet premiere tickets of Guardians of the Galaxy as well. That is right around the corner. One of the most anticipated movies of the year. It's all coming up here on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about your girlfriend, the person that I despise, Tate Oswitler.
There's no reason for you to despise Taylor, by the way. She's a very nice lady.
Yeah, and very talented. I know you think that.
Well, she is. She's very nice, and she's very talented, and she's very smart.
She's so fake and plastic and shut up.
She is...
can't be surprised by everything that happens.
Enormously talented and
whatever.
Has built an empire that netted her $64 million last year, by the way. This touring the world with Red, one of the biggest concert tours ever, singing songs that she wrote. But she's getting a little bit of pushback right now for an editorial that she wrote in the Wall Street Journal. They had their 125th anniversary episode. By the way, the Wall Street Journal has been around 125 years. And she wrote an essay on the future of music. Basically, this was what they were doing in this issue of the newspaper, is they were looking ahead toward the future in a lot of different industries. And Taylor wrote about the future of music. And a lot of people are mocking her, and I think perhaps rightfully so. Now, the headline was not hers. The newspaper gave that. For Taylor Swift, the future of music is a love story. But she says a few things that have become pretty controversial. And we thought maybe we'd give it a chance. Rather than just guessing what she meant, maybe we'd talk to Taylor and find out if she has been misinterpreted. And I believe we've got her on the phone right now here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Taylor.
What? Oh, my God.
You knew we were calling.
I can't believe it's you on the phone.
You knew we were calling, Taylor.
Yes, you can. We set it up with your
people. I pick up the phone and there's a person on the other end of it.
Taylor, we arranged this ahead of time.
I can't believe it on the phone. No surprise.
So, Taylor, the gist of your article I agree with, which is that somehow musical artists need to be compensated for their work like any other art. Music should not be free,
music
is what you're saying.
Music should not be free. No. You should have to pay for music because it's art. Because art is rare, and rare is valuable.
Right.
It's valuable, it should cost money.
But
so give me more money.
You made $64 million last year.
I want more money.
Okay. But let me ask you about this. You say...
Oh, my God, I can't believe you're asking me a question.
We've been on the phone now for 2 minutes. You're probably clear on the fact that we're going to ask you a couple of questions.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. Go
okay. Did you at some point say that you should be able to charge based on how much heart and soul you put into it?
The value of an album is based on the amount of heart and soul an artist has bled into a body of work.
Okay, now
I tried to say that in a more pretentious way, but I can't find one.
Yeah, that is as pretentious as you can get.
How does that work? Like when I go to the store and I bring an album up to the counter, how do I know how much heart and soul has been put into that record
Put it in the heart and soul-o-meter.
What is the thing?
It's a thing. It's like a scale for produce.
There's no such thing.
You put the CD on the scale and it says, oh, this much heart and soul, $400,000, please.
But, Taylor, what if I make an album and I put my heart and soul into it and I work on it for years and years, blood, sweat, and tears, nothing but work, and it
sucks?
You mean
blood, sweat, and tears?
No. But I'm saying, what if it sucks? It has nothing to do with how hard... You know, how much work you put into it.
Well, they should pay you for all your hard work.
Why? I'm saying in my example, my album blows.
But some people say my music blows.
It does. I think your music blows.
But I should still get paid lots of money.
You do.
So I want lots of money.
What about this? And I know you're a romantic at heart, even though you'll never find love, Taylor. What about this where you talk about the relationship between artists and their fans is like arrows through the heart? Can you elaborate that for a moment, please?
Yeah, it's like... an arrow, and it goes through your heart.
Right.
It's like that.
Right, but that's the part Bean said.
Right.
Yes, I'm asking you to elaborate on that. Explain that.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Can't believe what?
It's like arrows through the heart.
Why are you so surprised by saying something that you already wrote in a newspaper?
It just sounds so good.
So
I also said in the article, in this moment in music, stepping out of your comfort zone is rewarded, and sonic evolution is not only accepted, it's celebrated. The only real risk is to be afraid to take a risk at all. I'm such a risky performer. It's a risk to sing about songs about boys and sneakers. Oh, I'm so risky!
You're not risky at all.
You're not thinking about sneakers and putting glasses on and cheerleaders. I'm risky!
You're not at all risky.
You're a lot of money for my heart and soul.
You're a lot of figs, Taylor. You're hardly dancing on the razor's edge, my dear.
I'm so risky! I want some more money.
So you should get paid for being risky as well?
Yes, and get my new clothing line, Lucky 13.
Yeah, about that. There's been a company named Lucky 13. For a long time.
But they don't have any heart and soul. My clothes have heart and soul in them.
Right, but you can't just steal somebody's name because you want to.
But I have heart and soul.
Well, you have heart and soul. You have heart and soul.
Can't argue with that.
Whatever.
Look how much heart and soul. It's like arrows through my heart and my soul.
Okay. You need to take a nap.
I don't feel so good.
Yeah. Oh, no! Taylor, what happened?
You seem fine. We're having a conversation.
Poor Taylor.
Oh, my heart and soul fell off the floor.
Oh, no.
It's my favorite part right here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, listen to that.
Right?
Doesn't get any better.
Right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show at 8:24.
Ralph Garman did a story for us during the Showbiz Beat last week that caused us to make a note that we need to talk about dumpster diving. Justin Theroux is the actor he was talking about. You guys know who he is, right? He's the star of The Leftovers, currently on HBO, but he's been in a lot of stuff. He was a regular on 6 Feet Under for a number of years, Parks and Rec. I remember him best as the star of Mulholland Drive, the David Lynch movie.
Oh, right.
But he's done a ton of stuff. He was in Your Highness, a lot of stuff. Well, he talked about how in his pre-celebrity days, back before he was engaged to Jennifer Aniston and making all this HBO money, he was one of those guys who was out there dumpster diving. He says he had to do it to survive. He was a struggling actor in New York City. Quote, I used to garbage pick. It sounds more disgusting than it is. I'd like to question that right there.
It sounds more disgusting than it is.
You learn a lot about society by seeing what's thrown away. During the period I was doing that, a lot of great stuff was being tossed, end quote. Look, it's not for me. And maybe I can say that because I am lucky enough to have a job where I can afford to go to the supermarket and buy my food. But I can totally understand why somebody who literally is living paycheck to paycheck and doesn't have money would say, hey, I bet there's some good stuff out there that's being thrown away.
I'm more interested in people who have money to buy food and are dumpster diving because they can afford it. And yet, for some reason, I guess they can't take that good stuff's being thrown away, by supermarkets or whatever. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of good stuff that's thrown away and they find their treasures there.
We want to take calls from people who have or are currently or have formerly dumpster dived at 1-800-520-106. And we're opening up the phone lines right now. Gave away the soccer tickets, by the way. So that's what we're looking for right now is if you are a dumpster diver or have been, call us now. 1-800-520-1067. I think there are people, the same people who really take to heart environmentalism, the people who are composting, the people who are separating every single piece of the trash in their kitchen in the appropriate recycle, bin.
Right.
I think there are people like that who just think that we waste too much food and that it's a crime. I mean, I think those people, they have an incentive to go out there and make it right just a little bit by not buying new food.
Remember our intern? We used to have an intern here that would dumpster dive.
What was her name? Which one was she?
I think she was Shaolin Rain.
Was she Shaolin Robot?
Robot, yeah.
She was a dumpster diver?
Shaolin Rain.
That's right.
Yeah, she was a dumpster diver.
And what was her story?
I don't remember, but I didn't get the sense that she was so desperate that she had to. I just think she found great stuff and she loved it. And I was fascinated by that because it doesn't seem like a process that you would enjoy.
You know, we had a conversation recently, and the instant cash guy was, the free cash guy was just back in Southern California again this weekend. But people go berserk for free. And maybe once you find out that you can go behind a supermarket and find fruit that expired yesterday that's still perfectly edible, but for whatever legal reason they're not allowed to sell it, maybe it's hard to envision going out and buying food if you know it's just laying in there in a dumpster waiting to be taken.
But it's laying in there with other stuff.
Well,
they don't package that stuff nicely. You know what I mean? It's not putting a package in a plastic wrapper.
I think that you pick and choose what are the better dumpsters, I bet. I mean, I bet if you get into it, I bet there's a way to do it that it's fairly palatable.
You want to talk to somebody who dumpster diving is his main source of food?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let's begin with Gary, who's calling us from Redondo Beach. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Gary Golding.
Hi, Gary. What's going on? This topic pricked your interest a little bit.
Yeah, definitely, because this is something that I'm known for on Facebook, even on public media. I put it out there that I actually live this way, because rather than being some, like, hippie-type guy, I'm a very athletic sort of, I don't sort of fit the profile of the average person that does this.
Right. But isn't the average person who does this homeless?
You know, probably according, I fed 50 people on Skid Row for free from the same dumpster I eat out of.
So you really? take wow. food out of dumpsters, and then you take it to charities and give it to people.
I actually didn't take it to a charity. I actually made a video on YouTube of how I cooked it, prepared it, how I got it, how fresh and clean it was. The eggs I get are 3 weeks away from their expiration date. It goes by shelf space, and they only get rid of the eggs because they get the new ones in, not because they're old and bad. So
are you mostly behind grocery stores in their dumpsters looking for the produce that they throw away?
No, I actually also harvest food from the land. I'm a wilderness survivalist, and I combine going in and out of the wilderness mixed with an urban environment, and I have people that work at grocery stores that tell me it's a unique lifestyle that I do, so I don't put a draw on the system and create demand on the system, and I make as little impact as I can on the planet. I'm a minimalist.
Are you running from the law?
Not at the moment, all right, but I probably will be.
Gary, are you also on the grid at all? Do you have a home? Do you have a job, a family?
Yeah, my job is actually saving the planet. That's what I do. I teach children about nature in
Come
L.A.
USA! USA!
No, USA!
USA!
Hey, forget the USA.
Oh, forget the USA. Sorry.
That, buddy.
My bad.
This is the world.
So you consider that your job?
Actually, I'm an environmental activist, so yes, I do.
Fantastic. You're exactly the person we were looking for, and you are healthy and strong, and most of what you eat comes out of stuff that other people throw away.
Yeah, I'm very jockish. My name's Gary Golding. Look me up. You could look up the Golding State on Facebook and see who I am. This is what I'm known for. My friends, it's funny when you have this lifestyle, people will attack it like mad and try to make you feel bad about it. It's a trip. So I do it on purpose to force judgment from others to see their response. It's pretty interesting.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Gary. Good luck to you, my friend. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. You are a dumpster diver. You're not going to be as cool a dumpster diver as Gary was.
By the way, he smokes a lot of weed too, right?
I'm sure.
That's just my guess.
But we want to hear from you anyway. Take your calls next right after this on K-Rock.
Advertisers, you can reach the dumpster divers right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It's 8:38.
We are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Justin Throw, the actor, in an interview to Details Magazine, said that he used to dumpster dive a lot back in the day. A lot of our listeners are still doing it. Right now, Kevin, I am on the Los Angeles Dumpster Diving Meetup Group.
No.
It's a website. This meetup is for people who are interested in dumpster diving, freeganism, living simply, reducing consumption, and reducing their ecological footprint. Our activities may include dumpster diving, recycling, sharing resources, growing food, and helping others. So it seems like at least for some people, the dumpster diving is part of it, but it's kind of more of a bigger picture of being environmentally aware.
But they meet? They have like dates at a dumpster?
I think they
get dumpster dive? Oh, like that?
I think so. Well, we got a bunch of calls on the line. Let's go to a few of them. Let's talk to Matt. He's on line 4. He says he has been dumpster diving for 20 years, so apparently it's working out for him. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show. Thank you for hanging on.
All right.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, Matt. Good advice for anybody calling in is to turn the radio down and listen to the phone.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Matt. Thank you.
We tried.
Let's move on to Quinn. Hello, Quinn. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Thanks. Yeah, I don't do this as much anymore, but back when I couldn't afford
food, I would go and search for cans and plastic bottles and anything for recycling and take it to one of the recycling return centers. There's a couple outside of, like, Ralph's and things.
To get money for food.
To get money for food because they give you a coupon to spend at that Ralph's. But I also used to go to, like, and I think this is more probably because garbage picking doesn't necessarily mean dumpster diving, but when you would find, like, pieces of furniture on the side of the road and pick them up and either resell them or use them in your house or something.
Right.
Like old coffee tables or, you know, side tables or anything.
But, but you said you've been doing this for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah. I used to do it a long time ago.
Hmm.
When you were going through the garbage looking for recycling stuff to sell, did you also ever find food that you would eat?
Oh, no. I would just do the recycling thing and then buy food at the grocery store.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jim. He's on line 7. He's from L.A. He's got a curious take on this as well. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin Bean. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. You dumpster dive?
Yeah, well, yeah, big-time dumpster dives. We found a place that had a dumpster full of gold. And what that gold was some, I'm not going to say exactly what it was, but it was a dietary supplement. And what we would do is I had a couple friends that were a little bit smaller than me, and it was a trash compactor-style dumpster. And we would jump into this dumpster and pick as many pieces of gold as we possibly could, resell it on Amazon, and in 2012 made a little over $220,000.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Wait a minute.
You're telling me that you made $220,000 from dietary supplements that you found in a dumpster behind a store?
Yes, sir.
Why were they throwing them out if they were still so valuable?
Well, it's one of those companies that does the, hey, we'll, you can try our product for 30 days for free. If you don't like it, return it. And
right.
They would return it, and they would throw it away.
And they would toss it.
I would get the stuff and had a nice little Amazon store, and we were making about $20 to $40 on every single one we sold.
But you said $220,000.
Yes, in 1 year.
And did that supply run out? Did you have to stop doing that at some point?
Yeah, I think they found it. They found we were getting it somehow, some way, and the chain just stopped immediately.
Wow. Sons of bitches.
Yeah, I bought a car. I bought my girl a car, and
wow,
that's the money. And but now I work a regular job, and it sucks.
Yeah, it sounds sad compared to your exotic life of crime before. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Great story.
My 2013 Coachella was amazing.
I'll bet it was.
All right, sir. Thanks for the call. From Facebook, Ida Lynn writes in, if I can get it for free, why not? I've gotten clothes, shoes, groceries. I mean, look, people throw away a bunch of good stuff. I know a guy who used to throw pizza away in his trash can, and it was still good enough to go back in there a couple of hours later and eat it.
That's me.
Oh, that was you, dumpster diving at your own house.
No, but you can't dumpster dive at your own house. It's your stuff.
But doesn't mean the rats aren't in your trash, too.
Inside. It was inside. It was in a box. Come on now.
Let's go to Will, Huntington Beach, line 3, up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Will. Thanks for calling. What's going on, man?
Yeah, hey, guys. So in college, I lived in a house with like 5 or 6 guys, and one of the guys knew the manager at Trader Joe's, and so we would go every Monday night and drink beer in the parking lot and wait for them to throw away eggs. We would get like 6 or 7 dozen eggs a week.
And we'd wow.
House a ton of guys, you know, we would go through them. And then the other thing is like the frozen foods. A lot of those frozen foods have sell-by dates. But if you carry them and throw them away frozen, we took them up and put them in our freezer and they're still frozen.
Right.
But still good.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, if they're taking it from a Trader Joe's, walking it out back, sitting in a dumpster, and you're going in right after picking it up and taking it home, I can't see the negative in that. I just can't.
Well, and the other thing, too, is people don't realize, like, how the rest of the world stores food. I mean, I grew up in South America. People don't refrigerate half the crap we refrigerate.
Right.
It's still good. And, I mean, they're dying of all sorts of other stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Well, the downside is all the death.
Sure,
you
death.
Save a lot of money on refrigeration.
You sure do.
Thank you for the call.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, are we playing Bastille on Bastille Day? Is that what's happening right now?
Sure.
Listen, all that sighing going on.
Yeah.
Come on, there's some synergy there, you guys. Embrace it. Enjoy it.
It's a coincidence.
It's Bastille Day.
You know what? We play Bastille every day.
Right, but so it's going to land on Bastille Day at some point.
Today of all days.
If we play it every day, then it really just isn't that.
You know what's going to happen a little bit later, Bean? We're going to play it again on Bastille Day.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph is here. Time for the show. Bean on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Well, you just suck all the energy out of the room, don't you? With your
Why? Because I celebrate all holidays?
With your conversational death. By the way, we didn't even get a chance to touch on how creepy Bean was with Harvey Levin this morning, talking about TMZ.
What was creepy about that? I was just asking him if there's a lot of hookups in his office.
Oh,
that's
right.
All.
Yeah, I forgot about
that. Full-blown creep mode.
Yeah. There was nothing creepy about that. Oh. He works in a newsroom with lots of young people, and I just wondered if that's a thing, like it is here at K-Rock.
No, but that's not at all. You were like, Harvey, there's a lot of really attractive young people in your office there. Are they having sexy time? Which ones are having sex with each other? It's like, for God's sake, you're the old creepy dude looking out the window across the street at the middle school that you live
creepy
near.
Creepy alert.
Oh, those are young, attractive people. I wonder which ones of them are having sexy time with each other.
Can I just make a suggestion that I'm not sure the words sexy time work?
I didn't say it at all to Harvey. Look, here's what happened.
You want me to get the tape?
Harvey is... I don't think I said sexy time on the cover.
You did. How much? $100 American money. I will put that on that right now.
If you're that
now.
Sure, then no. Then I probably said it. But look,
$1,000.
Here's my whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that Harvey is the grown-up of that group. Everybody else is younger than he is on the show. And I just wonder what it's like for him looking out at all those people. It just must be weird for him to have all those
people.
Because
they're so hot. All of the people there are so hot.
They're such young, attractive people. Who's having sex with each other? What? Why do you care? Stop thinking about it and talking about it.
It was weird.
I was just looking
at the first question you asked the man. It's he runs a celebrity news organization. You're asking what young, attractive people in your office are boning each other.
I just thought, well, look, we talk to Harvey all the time about the stories, but I thought it might be fun to get a little behind the scenes on what's going on in the actual newsroom.
Stop it. You're creepy.
I've worked with Bean too long when I did not recognize that when it happened.
Oh, we're in the other room just cringing and just going, oh, bleh, bleh.
I'm with you on that.
Harvey, you have young, attractive people there. Who's having sex with each other?
Oh my gosh, 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 oh my gosh. I'm just saying.
That's the problem.
Stop saying.
You just keep saying. It is Monday morning on the Showbiz Beats. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. No surprise there. Number one at the box office with $73 million. Big winner. Transformers Age of Extinction was second with just 16.5. Then Tammy, 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2 were the top five movies at the box office, followed by Earth to Echo, Deliver Us from Evil, Maleficent, Begin Again at number 9, and then Jersey Boys bringing up the rear. Like those Jersey Boys do. Nickelodeon has canceled Sam and Cat.
Oh,
come on.
What is that?
Come on with the Sam and Cat.
What's Sam and Cat?
Sam and Cat is a Nickelodeon show, Kevin, starring Ariana Grande and Jeanette McCurdy.
Okay.
This was a very popular show amongst the kiddie set.
Oh, all right.
They played two girls who were best friends, roommates, and they started a babysitting service together. The show is awful, but it was wildly popular. And these days I'm watching a lot more children's television program than I would like.
I'm sure you are.
And this was one of the few shows I could watch. Because that Ariana Grande, she's a pretty funny, talented little actress. And Jeanette McCurdy recently had a series of nude photos leaked online, which made me very happy.
Okay.
Unfortunately, lingerie-only photos.
Yeah. So,
oh, my gosh, 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 oh, my gosh.
She's a very attractive young person, though. I wonder who she's boning over there in the set of Sam and Cat.
Is she having sexy time? Sexy time.
So they've been fighting about salary demands and this, that thing, and Nickelodeon finally said, okay. We got enough of these. Kids love to watch the same damn show over and over again.
They do, that's true.
We can just burn through these till the end of time. This is my favorite part. The statement from Nickelodeon was, where the heck is it? Oh, we are very proud of the show and its very talented cast, and we wish them all the best. Which is TV speak for don't let the door hit you in the ass.
After you get out.
Pain in the ass teenage actresses.
Look, you can't be on a Nickelodeon show and put lingerie photos you know, in her case, they were leaked. It's not like she posted them. I mean, they were leaked from her boyfriend, I guess. But you just can't, you can't do that.
That's
right?
A lot of information.
He sure does. It's unbelievable. Ariana Grande, by the way, of course, has a wildly popular music career now, so she doesn't really need the show any longer since it launched her. But I, for one, will miss Sam and Cat.
And you'll watch the reruns. Don't worry about that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Jenny McCarthy has finally announced her first post-View job. You know, she was booted from The View.
And she dumpster diving?
She said, don't worry about me. I'm going to come back better than ever. And she finally announced today what she's going to be doing. She's going to get her own hour-long Sirius XM radio show called Dirty Sexy Funny with Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, man.
You can bet your sweet ass the show will live up to its title, she said in her statement.
Oh, man.
That is going to be so easy to avoid, though.
Oh, man, though.
But in terms of living up to the title, has Jenny McCarthy ever made you laugh once?
Well, no.
No. And here's the thing. Here's the de-evolution of her career. Now we've gone for her in Playboy, silent and hot.
Right.
To being forced to watch and hear her
right.
on television, where she became less attractive because we had to listen to her while we looked at her. Now it's just going to be her voice.
Yeah.
Now you don't get to see her anymore. It's just the worst part. It's like going to a steakhouse. They say, we're going to take all the steak off. We're going to just serve you this bone and gristle. Please enjoy. That's, no, I want the steak.
Ralph wants the steak, and I think that's he's not asking for too much.
Jenny McCarthy with a radio show. Oh, can you imagine her just talking and going, making fart noises and just trying to be funny?
No. I cannot.
She's a bitch.
I don't know about that.
I don't think she's a bitch, but
doesn't believe in science, but other than that.
What's that?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Who's booting you over there, Harvey? Harry Dean Stanton.
It wasn't like that.
Yes,
it was.
It was
absolutely like
it
that.
Wasn't.
It was out of left field and weirdly, weirdly inappropriate.
When you listen to Harvey's voice in response to yours, now that I think back about it,
he's
like,
stunned.
Oh, he's like, what?
He's completely back on his heels, just completely stunned.
What are you
at the whole line of questioning. A lot of that noise as well.
Look,
you guys,
there's a lot of hookups in businesses.
Stop
look at
trying
beer mug.
To explain yourself.
Look at Kevin. I mean, they're you know they found workmates. I'm just saying it's probably going on over.
Beer mug and I found
TMG.
Each other. By the way,
it's probably going on there in the newsroom. I'm just wondering if that requires a lot of Harvey's time is to try to manage
we
all that drama.
We understand what you were getting at.
Well, you think we know we're unclear on it?
Here's a fresh idea. Once in a while, keep an effing thought to yourself. Today's celebrity birthdays: Harry Dean Stanton's 88, Vincent Pastore. From Sopranos fame is 68. Kyle Gass, half of the legendary Tenacious D, is 54. Jane Lynch, also 54 today. Jackie Earle Haley, very talented actor, is 53. Matthew Fox from Lost, 48. Scott Porter, 35 today. And Imagine Dragons singer Dan Reynolds turns 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Totally worth it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Ralph has joined us. It is time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Guardians of the Galaxy!
Yay!
This looks good.
What a spectacular nerd time we live in. The world is just nerd-rific, nerd-tastic.
It's about time the world came over to Bean and my side.
Oh,
right?
About
it. Time. Finally.
And finally,
some
flag.
Comic book movies getting made.
We gave away Comic-Con tickets earlier today. Now I'm giving away tickets to the red carpet premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy.
And we live in a world with the Planet of the Apes and the Transformers all at the box office at the same time.
The TV shows are just going to be loaded up with comic book superheroes. It's a magical time we live in.
Look, you don't have to tell us. We've been expecting this forever. It's about time you finally caught up with us.
I wrote a comic about Batman 66.
Wrong!
What?
Again!
What?
That was me!
Oh.
How about a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy? This does look terrific. James Gunn directs. Chris Pratt, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper lends his voice as Rocket Raccoon. Well, yeah, you're a big comic fan, I know.
Sure.
Tell everybody about Rocket Raccoon a little bit.
Well, Rocket?
Mm-hmm.
Raccoon is a superhero, and he's got rockets strapped to his back. I don't know.
This improv class.
I know nothing about that. Zero.
July the 21st at the Chinese theaters where this is all going to happen.
Obviously.
The movie itself is in theaters everywhere August the 1st, but you'll have seen it weeks before your friends if you're one of the lucky five callers that we're taking right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call me now. First five callers who get through at that phone line will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy. It's Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on the movie beat. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, in its debut weekend, $73 million. Spectacular. Transformers Age of Extinction, number 2. Tammy, 22 Jump Street, How to Train Your Dragon 2, came in at number 5. Then Earth to Echo, Deliver Us from Evil, Maleficent, Begin Again, and Jersey Boys, your top 10 movies at the box office. Tragic news over the weekend. Legendary name in rock and roll music, Tommy Ramone, has passed away. The last surviving founding member of the Ramones, one of the last original Ramones, he passed away at the age of 65 over the weekend. Not only was he the drummer for the band, but he produced or co-produced many of their albums. He drummed for the first three albums and the first live album, and then Marky Ramone took over as the drummer in that band. He created the sound, the look, and the attitude of the Ramones as their first manager and publicist, as well as being a performer in the band and their producer. So it was he was one of the best. And they, of course, are a hugely influential band. So really sad news.
Why did all of the original members of the Ramones die so young?
I don't know.
It all seemed like they had separate health problems. It's not like they were all alcoholics or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, you know, Joey was super sick, Tommy's sick. I don't know what, it's just bizarre that the Rolling Stones are still alive and out there doing their thing, and all the Ramones are dead.
Hey.
It's not funny, Rodney.
Wait a minute.
Come on, Rodney.
Come on, Rodney.
What's wrong with you?
Serious conversation.
I thought you liked them.
Super sad.
Yeah, there you go.
While we're talking about music, we finally got some new Weird Al Yankovic music.
That is what I am talking about.
Nice read.
Yeah, good.
His newest parody, Pharrell's Happy. That's his new his new jam. I guess this is off his new upcoming album.
Mandatory Fun, in stores and available for download tomorrow. Al will be joining us in studio Friday.
There you go.
Man, oh man, you're excited.
This is the best week ever.
Oh my God.
Al week.
The song, of course, is a parody of Happy called Tacky, and the video dropped this morning as well. Star-studded. A lot of cameo appearances in the video. Jack Black, Christian Schaal, Aisha Tyler, Eric Stone Street, all very funny people in the video. And then Margaret Cho's in there as well. So you can check it out online. Here's a little taste of Al's take on Happy called Tacky.
It might seem crazy wearing stripes and pride.
He's tacky.
That's because you don't know what's going on in his pants.
That's a good point. I don't even want to know what's going on in Al's pants.
What happened?
What's wrong with you,
Bean? That's because you don't know what's going on in his pants.
Ralph, I'm sure you know this, but Al will be releasing a new music video every day for 8 days. Today is day one. So we've got this to look forward to every day. All right, take it easy.
Roddy, all right.
Roddy thinks that's funny.
That one is funny.
Yeah. I did not know that. I'm glad you gave us the Al update. I don't even know why I bothered. I should have just gone to my Al correspondent in the field.
We could have talked about Weird Al from 5:30 on today.
It's a big week for Al.
It to Bean, and he could have done our Al update.
Forget Al. It's a big week for Bean.
Maybe we'll have an Al update each and every day during the Showbiz Beat.
I like it.
You caught Al's appearance on the Dinner Party podcast over the weekend, right?
I don't even know what that is.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Imagine Dragons singer Dan Reynolds is 27 years old today.
Really sad.
It's not sad. It's a day of happiness. Hey. It's his birthday.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you made a mistake there. Scott Porter's 35.
I dig.
You dig Scott Porter? Me too. Matthew Fox is 48.
Why?
Because he was born 48 years ago
today. That is how it works.
Jackie Earl Haley, 53 today.
So what?
It's his birthday. We're giving him a little tribute. Jane Lynch of Glee is 54.
Big, thick.
Nope. Well, I don't think so.
Hey. Wait a minute.
Right. Yeah, hold on a second.
Yeah, there it is.
Tenacious D's Kyle Gass is 54 as well.
Are there any girls here?
And Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos is 68. And lastly, Harry Dean Stanton, legendary character actor, 88 years old today.
Punch, punch, kick.
Right.
Shouldn't do that to Harry. He's not a young man.
Hey.
All right. Okay. All right.
Wait a minute.
All right. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Go Buffalo.
Why?
Because they're in the finals
of
the sport
called
sportball.
Tomorrow morning, an all new.
Uh-oh.
What do you got?
Sorry.
Some liquid nitrogen up your nostrils?
My apologies.
You freeze your lungs.
Al Madrigal, comedian, will be here tomorrow.
Weird
morning.
Al Madrigal?
No, Al Madrigal. Comedian. He's not Weird Al.
Oh, okay.
Tim, the lead singer of Rise Against, tell us about their new album, The Black Market. And we have your tickets for Comic-Con as well.
Con!
Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show.